Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host, Vincent the Bay.
Vince in the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Vince in the Bay.
Odd. Conduct. It's Monday, September 30th, 2013. I would like to thank you all for joining me, especially early on. I know we have a lot of stragglers that like to come in later, so fuck them. We'll catch up with them in a bit. My guest tonight is going to be none other than attorney Stanley Cohen. He has had a career spanning over 3 million decades, and he's been practicing law since before there was law. And, well, he is a criminal and political defense attorney, and a lot of his work is notorious for making friends and also very powerful enemies. I would imagine that comes with the territory of being a criminal lawyer. But hey, everybody should have the right to have representation. I don't care. Like, even that dude that was like that, the Fort Hood shooter. I mean, the guy even said, like, dude, I want to die. I don't care. I don't even want a lawyer. I just want to die. All right, that's his option. I mean, he even, you know, he admitted his guilt. He was not going to fight it at all. He was just, I think his defense was like, I did it. Closed. You know, my defense rests. You know, and okay, so people like that, even people that fucking blatantly guilty, even they deserve to have representation. It doesn't matter. I think it should be, like, a lot of people say, oh, it should be a human right to, I don't know, have a Versace sweater or something. I don't know, does Versace make sweaters? Sunglasses, whatever. Education should be a right. I could argue that, but whatever. I think there should be, you know, now that we are in the age of modernity, where pretty much the globe is all more or less modernized. Of course, it's not all modernized, but it's more modernized than it's ever been. And I think we've evolved enough as human beings to realize that it's not such a big stretch of an idea to say that everybody, no matter who they are, what they allegedly did, they deserve the right to a fair trial of their peers, of the justice system, of whatever, and they should have access to legal counsel. And you know, I report on this show a lot about cyber crimes and stuff, and Stanley, you know, we'll talk to him about some cyber crime stuff, because he's been dabbling in that too a bit lately, it seems like. But yeah, man, everybody needs representation. This has caused Stanley in particular to take a lot of heat for representing political people of political status within the Hamas party in Palestine. And that's only the tip of the iceberg. Dude, this guy, he has, I mean, he'll tell us even more, hopefully, but among other clients he's been associated with, one, a member of the Weather Underground. He also helped represent the Mohawk Warrior Society. He helped represent the Revolutionary Communist Party. He has represented members of the Irish Republican Army, a.k.a. the IRA. He has, of course, as I said, represented Hamas political leaders. And he's also represented several Islamic terrorist suspects. And but most notably to my listeners, of course, is his notorious representation of Mercedes Hofner, whatever. You know what bitch I'm talking about. She's one of the 14 activists who are affiliated with, or were affiliated with, the computer hacker group Anonymous, who were prosecuted by the U.S. government for allegedly participating in a December 2010 quote digital sit-in on PayPal's website. They basically just took down PayPal's website. We are off payback. Everybody knows. So he's been he's kind of been a de facto voice of the PayPal 14, more or less. He does interviews about them here and there, but to be honest, as much as I love the PayPal 14 and have gotten to know them and totally support them and almost feel like family with some of them, to the point where half those kids are fucking loons. Jesus Christ. Shit, where was I going with this? As much as I love the PayPal 14, they're in the greater picture of Stanley Cohen's workload. They're just kind of like a fun side project. It's kind of a shame that this trial has lagged on for so long. It appears it's going to be resolved somewhat soon, and I hope it's when it ever does get fully resolved, I can have some of those kids on to talk about it, because they're really good kids and they just did some wild stuff on the internet like kids do, and whatever, you live and learn. I can relate, because I pretty much went through the same situation myself. I am, of course, as you know, a victim of the CFAA. And so I can kind of relate to these kids. And I went to their initial arraignment and got to meet a few of them. I saw Stanley there. I didn't get a chance to meet him. He was too busy being filmed by Brian Knappenberger, also a friend of the show who's been on the broadcast before. When Stanley's been in town, I've run into him a couple of times, but we've never had a chance to really just sit down and talk. So hopefully this will be a chance to do a little bit of that and get to know him better. He's fun to follow on Twitter. I don't care what your political leanings are, but he's great. I love his, because anybody who's a newsie who pays attention to the news likes to make little flippant comments and stuff. And Stanley's just as good as anybody else. He's a funny guy. He's got a great sharp wit and sense of humor. Follow him on Twitter. It's simply Stanley Cohen on Twitter. And so I guess I've been riding Stanley's dick hard enough. And what I'm going to do right now is, first of all, let me empty the trash. Hang on. Nigger Christ, you're on the air.
Hey, what's Gucci? I actually wanted to ask that lawyer a few questions.
Okay, how about you just chill out, bro? And
I got time. I can wait. I ain't rushing nothing.
Chill out, dude. Chill out, and I'll bring you on, dude. It's going to be all good.
Stay good. All right.
Yeah, I will. Okay. All right. Without any further ado, let's now welcome our my guest tonight, Stanley Cohen. Welcome, Stanley. Is that Stanley there? Can you hear me? That might not be Stanley. Hello, is that Stanley Cohen?
That's me. Can you hear me?
I hear you now. Sorry about that. I pushed the wrong button. There you are. How you doing, Stan?
Well, New Orleans is winning by 25 points. Your Patriots won last night. Life is fucking good, man.
My Patriots?
Well, I thought you posted last night, go Patriots.
Fuck no. Oh, probably because I hated who they were playing or something. But
I know. And you got fucked around, man, because you got born an Oakland fan. Holy shit.
Dude. See, that's the thing is being an Oakland Raider fan, the National Football League is effectively eliminated from my life. So I don't really I can actually – it frees up my Sundays. It's great.
Well, since the owner died, they got somewhat clean. And the old days, at least bodies would get carried off the fucking field, so it was worth watching them. And now they sit around and they kick a little ass, they get intercepted, they lose, and, the end of the game. What can I say?
Hey, Stanley, you sound great. You got me on speakerphone here?
No, you're on this big old ass Twitter screen. I'm trying to, do something with this shit, but I'm not a techie.
Are you in a bathroom?
No, I actually took a shit before the show to make sure I wouldn't have that problem.
Okay, it's just kind of echoey is all I'm saying. You sound like kind of like, it sounds as if you're on a speakerphone in a shower.
No. Maybe what I should do is hang up and call you on a regular phone.
That's fine. We can try that. I mean, you sound good. There's just like an echo. But let's try that. Call it back. Hello?
Hello?
Hey. Oh.
Yeah,
what's
better?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Is that better?
It's a little better. I think we'll get used to it. We can live with it, dude. It's cool. If people get annoyed or if I get annoyed, we can try the phone. It's all good. I'm just excited you're here, and we already have a shit ton of people that want to call in and talk to you. Now I'm getting some feedback. Are you listening to me on your speakers on your computer?
It is on my computer. It's the typical Skype call.
Okay, let me ask you this. Stanley, do you know how to internet?
Yes, I know how to internet.
I mean, you represent these kids that know how to internet. Can we get some tech support?
Yeah, well, what's going on? Let's get either that or I'll just call you from a landline.
Dude, landlines are great. Those are actually ideal. Seriously.
All right, let me try it right now. Hold on.
All right, call us back on a landline. Sorry about that, Stanley. We should have worked this out before the show started. But that's Stanley Cohen. So we'll have him back on in just a moment. You know what we're going to do? As you know, I always ask my guests to help curate my episodes. And so I asked Stanley to suggest a few songs that we would play during breaks. And since I have a lot of callers to screen and I want to get Stanley's audio situation figured out here, what we're going to do is listen to one of the tracks that Stanley submitted. It's a pretty cool track, and it's by what's his name? Gil Scott Heron? Gil Scott Heron. Yes. It's called We Almost Lost Detroit. We almost lost Stanley, but we're going to have him right after this. Oh yeah.
It stands out on the highway. the time. It inspires the baby's questions.
What's that?
For their mother as they rhyme. But no one stops to think about the baby. How they would survive. And we've almost lost Detroit this time. How would we ever get over losing our minds? Miles from Detroit stands a giant power station. It ticks each night as the city sleeps, seconds from annihilation. But no one stopped to think about the people, how they would survive. And we almost lost Detroit this time. How would we ever get over losing our mind? The sheriff of Monroe County had sure enough disasters on his mind. And what would Karen Silkwood say to you if she was still alive? That when it comes to people's safety,
Disorderly Conduct with your host,
Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
Oh!
Yeah!
All right, we've worked out our technical difficulties, and I have Stanley back with me now. Welcome back, Stanley.
Thanks so much, Vince.
Good to have you here. Okay, so much I would love to chit-chat with you about, and I have a lot of callers on the line that are anxious to talk to you as well. Let's see. Let's start off in the present and move backwards right now. I'm curious, first of all, what can you say, what sort of, I don't care if it's a canned, press release statement, but just for the record, what can you reveal about the current status of the, quote, PayPal 14 case?
We're fighting the good fight. People are getting high. No, I'm just kidding. I think that we have, there are political cases that you fight in, courtrooms, or political cases you fight in the public arena, and there are political cases you fight or try without getting in front of a judge or a jury. And we have spent over 2 years in taking down huge components of the government's case, and we've now reached a point where we've been engaged because of that in these very, what I call productive, for lack of a better word, settlement conferences. That's been going on for 6-7 months. I can't say too much, but I believe the cases are going to be disposed of short of trial. I believe they're going to be disposed of in a way that's going to make everyone proud of the resolution. I believe they're going to be disposed of in a way where everyone's going to walk with their heads high and with a lot of dignity and a lot of respect and a lot of solidarity, and people are going to go, shit, you kicked ass. So I suspect we are probably within a month or so of pretty much wrapping up the PayPal 14 prosecution or persecution. A lot of lawyers, a lot of hard work, a lot of stress and strain on some young, wonderful folks that have fought the good fight and are still fighting the good fight and standing tall with dignity and respect and dynamic politics. And they will live to fight another day. They will not see the inside of a jailhouse for sure. It's been good. It's been a good fight. I've learned a lot about people in this case, and learned a lot about the science of cyberspace, which I didn't know, and became addicted to Twitter as a result of Mercedes giving me a birthday present by just sort of like hooking this up one day and saying, go have fun.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's cool. It's a whole new area of my practice and of my life and of my world that I really... I had a lot of respect and have for many years for folks that, are out in cyberspace, for lack of a better word, that fight the good fight, that not only, make their positions known, but make sure that the governments around the world cannot prevent others from making their positions known, that have fought long and hard and paid a lot of sacrifices in a lot of places, including in their lives, with their liberty, to make sure that government secrets remain within the public domain and that people have the right and the ability to talk and to exchange. And it's a whole world that I've had a lot of respect for a long time, but really never was hands-on involved, let alone representing cases. And along came PayPal 14 and jumped in it, and I've learned a lot more than I've taught, met some wonderful people, and at the end of the day, we'll all walk away feeling very good about this victory.
Okay, I got to cut you off right there, Stan. I'm not sure if you listen to my broadcast on a regular basis.
I have sometimes, yep.
Well, okay, I pretty much run my show like a fascist dictator.
Cool. Sure.
I'm an avowed fascist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, I consider myself a benevolent dictator, though. I allow people to use four-letter words. No problem. No problem. I allow people to use, to say, three-letter agencies. I don't care. I'm down with free speech, but unfortunately, your free speech ends once you call into my show or log into my chat room. And I enforce these laws as fairly as I can. I do sometimes selectively enforce the laws, but a lot of people give me shit if I have a guest on, especially a respectable guest such as yourself. They'll just bombard me. Like, dude, he said it, bro. How come you're not giving him time out? So I'm going to give you time out. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. And while I'm giving you 2 minutes, I'll just run down the do's and don'ts, and we'll bring you back on and keep chit chatting. And I got a lot of friends of yours who are waiting patiently to talk to you too. So this is how we do it. We blow the whistle on you, Stanley. 2 minutes. Stanley Cohen, 2 minutes. 2 minutes for using the term at the end of the day. At the end of the day. Yes, the terms that you cannot use on my show are the word literally. I'm lenient on that. If you use literally, properly, I'll let it go sometimes. If you use it improperly, no. 2 minutes. The other thing, we don't give shout-outs here. Shout-outs have jumped the shark like, I think, 2007. People like Ellen DeGeneres give shout-outs. Okay? Case. I rest my case. So no shout-outs. What else is there? At the end of the day... Oh, in terms of... God, I hate that thing, in terms of. People use that word to make them sound smart, and it bugs me. And, okay, granted, a lot of people are really smart who use that word, but I just think
in terms of how large my boner is, I'd say it's practically the size of Texas.
What the fuck is in terms of? Oh, by the way, we are now... 25 minutes away from the federal United States government shutting down. That's right. You heard it here. And I'm so glad I have Stanley on with me and some of these other people that are lined up. Because, we're going to party like it's 1999 tonight. All right. We're going to have a little mini party celebration. People like us have been fighting for years to shut down this government, all right? And finally, they just shut it down themselves. Thank God. So we're going to have fun with that. Okay, so there you go. That's the basic ground rules. And again, like I said, I'm a benevolent dictator. I selectively enforce. So, Stanley, don't be nervous about saying literally or something. If you're really into a conversation, you know, a topic, and you're in the zone and you say something, I let it go because, you know, it's about the content. And I'm really excited for you to be here and bring the content and to the show tonight. So welcome back, Stanley. I apologize, but, you know, that's just how the game's played, bro.
Hey, can you do something important, man?
Absolutely.
Can you get someone to let me know what the New Orleans score is? I'm in the other room right now.
Is there football on tonight?
Yeah, it's New Orleans. They're winning 35.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm paying attention to the government. Okay, hang on. I think I'll get you right here. Let me check it out.
It looks
like we have New Orleans is going. Yeah, New Orleans is going to win. They're up 38-17 with 4:20 left in the fourth quarter, bro.
We're good. We covered. We're happy. Now we can talk politics.
Sweet. Yeah, Drew B. And it looks like Drew Brees is still driving. They're not even running out the clock. They're like in spread formation. They're like, dude, let's run our offense. Let's just fuck it. This is practice. Let's get some more fuck. Boom. Drew Brees over the middle. They're down to the Dolphins 25-yard line. They're driving. They're going to put more points on the board. It's
good.
It's going to be crazy.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, so not only it's a great night, isn't it? We get to
It's
hang
wonderful.
Out.
I've waited 40 years for this show to shut down, and it's happening. It's cool. We'll be talking while it happens.
Yeah, this is
And
great.
You know what? We'll survive. We'll go on.
Yeah, and you know what's great is I could in 2 hours I could still go walk down to Safeway and buy a bag of carrots.
That's exactly right.
347-826-7667 is the number if you want to call in and chat with Stanley. He's a great guy. He's fun to talk to. He's a notorious criminal lawyer. He has represented some of the most evil people in the universe.
Well, not Wall Street and not the president, so it's not so bad.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we can only dream though. but if you want to call in and chime in, I know a lot of people are really excited to talk to you. And one of those folks is Anon Sicko. Welcome, or I'm sorry, he goes by Jess Sicko now. Sicko, you're on with Stanley Cohen. Welcome, Sicko. Are you there? Can you hear me? Are you muted on your side? Hello.
Oh, my God. I saw he posted he was going to call in tonight. He's
yeah,
not there.
Yeah, he's on the board. I don't know. Maybe he's having some issues on his side. The Skype interface, BTR is very buggy and testy. That's why I was excited that you had a landline to call in, because that's the most stable thing to do. Well, then let's check another Skype line real quick. Nigger Christ, are you still there?
Hey, little Gucci, man.
Hey, actually, Nigger Christ, you had a you had a question, you said, for Stanley. Did you want to ask it now?
Yeah, hey, Stanley, how be?
It's good, Nigger Christ. What's up?
Man, I got a question for you.
All right.
How fat is Mercedes Hayes' pussy?
You'll have to ask her.
I don't want to talk to that hog.
No. You're going to have to ask Mercedes that, because there's a fine line when you represent a star. One of them is you wait to read about this shit at the end of the road.
I guess I'll talk to that hog if I got to. Thanks for answering
my question. I didn't
say
at the end of the blank. I didn't say that. So my two-minute timeout's not there. But I'm sure if you were to post Mercedes, she'd probably show you a picture, man.
Yeah. I'll try. I'll send her a couple bucks. She'll do that. Thanks, man.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Hello.
We still on?
I'm there.
Hey, where'd Vince go?
I don't know. He's looking for Mercedes, I guess.
Hey, motherfucker.
Shit, he left us. What are we going to talk about now, bro?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, there's 3 minutes and 17 seconds left in the game, so what the fuck? That's going to be done.
Yeah. You see that Breaking Bad finale?
Say what?
The finale for that show Breaking Bad, you see that shit?
No. I since Father Knows Best went off the air, I don't watch much television. Did I miss something?
It is a good show, man.
Yeah? Everybody's always talking to me about all these good shows, and I don't get to watch them. I do not get to watch them. I spend too much time doing crazy shit, you know, like tonight's radio show. Meanwhile, we've lost Vince. I don't know what the hell happened to Vince.
Oh, I apologize, as always. Okay, this is the problem with a one-man show. I wear many hats here. Not only am I the host, but I also screen calls. I'm the call screener. I'm the, what else do I do? Chat room moderator. I also do social media outreach during the show. There's a lot of stuff going on. And I get a lot of calls during the show. And instead of saying, hang on, guys, I'm going to play some Nickelback while I screen more calls. I try to do it on the fly at opportune times. And I thought maybe Nigger Christ was going to engage in some sort of conversation with you, but he has very limited knowledge of anything, really, and it's nearly impossible to understand a word he says. So I apologize about that.
No, we had a great discussion. We were actually talking about the stock market. I'm going to go buy some stocks on the basis of his suggestions, man.
Oh, that's perfect. Good. Mm-hmm. All right. So it was productive. Great.
No, it was
right.
Good.
All right, so I got one of your friends on now. He worked his glitches out, and he's here. It's Jess Sicko. Welcome, Jess Sicko. You're on with Stanley Cohen.
What's going on, Vince? Long time no talk to. How are you doing, Stanley?
Hey, brother. What's up, man?
Not much. I was going to actually troll you about the Yankees and shit, but then my Rangers just did what they did. So, I mean, I guess it's hard for me to talk now. So just know that you should feel lucky, because I was going to troll you all night long about the Yankees, and then the Rangers had to go and choke.
Well, listen, you know, at least, you know, there was a couple of years ago when I was giving you shit, and you said at least you went one game further than you did, and then you turned it around this year, man. You went one game further than us. I mean,
yeah.
We Yankee fans had to get our rocks off watching two Yankee greats retire. That was the highlight of our season.
Yeah, the way Mariano Rivera was treated going around the league this year, that was pretty had to have a lot of respect for everybody in the way they handled that, because no matter how much you hate the Yankees, it's hard to hate on Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, I know. Especially Boston. I was stunned by what Boston did. I expected Boston to like try to whack him or something.
Right?
it was wild. But no, Mariano is. You know, it's a strange season because, you know, I said to someone today, I have watched mostly on television but occasionally live, you know, at the stadium, probably 100-120 games a season for the last 20 years. I didn't see a full game this entire year.
Oh, man, that sucks, dude.
It was a combination of all the injuries and all the strange faces and really busy. And, yeah, fucked up over people retiring and everything was a mess. And then I watched one night. And the one game I watched, it sucked, so I just said, oh, fuck this. So I get to remember this, the year that Mariano and Pettit retired, as, you know, I didn't watch it, and the A-Rod story, so it's all right. I'll be back next year.
At least you weren't forced to watch, like, Red Sox games all season. Like, I've been forced to watch A's games all season.
Hi, Stanley.
Hey there, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm okay. What's going on with your team? Oops.
Oh, you know, in the playoffs and whatnot.
Oh, just matter of fact.
Yeah, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, that's the same. That's the same team as me, the A's. We're just we're just ready to take on the Red Sox and spank them silly.
Listen, you kick the shit out of the Red Sox. They are total garbage.
I wholeheartedly agree. I guess now the season's over. I guess I can cheer on the A's, so that way my fiance doesn't, you know, beat me up and lock me in a closet for 2 weeks.
Well, I've read some of your dicey fights over, you know, who's on the couch tonight, when who won and who lost, man. That's not good.
He's mad.
Once again, folks, I am live with Stanley Cohen, Just Sicko, and Ma. She goes, my Valencia 13 on Twitter. That's the chick in the background, if you're wondering. But yeah, we're kicking it. We're talking about men's badminton and also the potential shutting down of the U.S. government. If you want to join the call, please feel free to. We're looking at the clock at the timer. We're now 13 minutes. I'm sorry. No, we are 15 minutes away from the federal U.S. government shutting down. Remember all that talk
about the military.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, what the fuck happened with Syria? That was such a thing for a second, and now it's not.
Well, because the media stopped talking about it, so all these activists stopped talking about it. Basically, Obama got upstaged by Putin, and so the United States decided, hey, we're gonna try to downplay this and not talk about it as much. So now the government or the media is telling people are not talking about it. So these activists and stuff aren't talking about it anymore. Kind of like the 2 years previous that the Syrian revolution has been going on, and nobody was talking about it until the media told them to talk about it. That's what's going on with Syria.
Well, you know, there's a perverse aspect. The Snowden saved a million lives. Because this whole thing, Putin outmaneuvered Obama because Obama fucked with him over Snowden. Snowden shows up, Putin never heard of him in his life, tells him to sit in the fucking bathroom, don't come out until I say you can come out. All of a sudden, he becomes the hero. Obama tells Putin to go fuck himself. Putin says, fuck me, no, fuck you. So he does a double entente. He boxes I Have a Drone in, makes him look like a total asshole, and they go, okay, Syria's settled. Let's move on now.
I agree.
Hey, you know what? If we're talking Middle East, I have always been a proponent of this is my foreign policy. If I was president, my foreign policy with the Middle East would be I'd shut down all the bases, sell everything for as scrap, bring all the kids home, have them work on infrastructure and shit here, and then I'd drop, I don't know, over 9,000 nuclear bombs on the Middle East, and problem solved. Moving on.
Yeah, we'd be back in the fucking cave from where we crawled out 500 years ago.
You were half correct though, Vince. If they brought the military home and stopped all the spending and shit that's going on in the military, we wouldn't even be having these debates about healthcare reform and shit like that, because we'd be able to afford to feed everybody and to house everybody and all that shit. You know, all this shit that the government, that the Republicans and Democrats bicker and argue about. Oh, we need to cut funding to food stamps, or, you know, like now we need to cut fund, or we don't need to fund Obamacare and shit. None of that stuff would be even a problem if we weren't spending, you know, trillions of dollars on the military.
Well, you're not going to hear anything from me.
Whatever, bro. You know what? TLDR. I say just nuke them, bro.
That's the debate we need to be having, not should we be funding Obamacare. It's should we be funding the military the way we are? Should we be giving billions of dollars to Israel? Should we be giving millions of dollars to Egypt, even though that their military just had a just performed a successful coup on the government there, and it's completely clamped down on everything. But we're still giving them money and F-16s and shit like that. That's the debate that Americans need to be having. Unfortunately, because the media is not telling people this is the debate we need to be having, even activists who consider themselves awake and paying attention have decided we're still going to debate what the media is telling us to debate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as soon as people eventually pull their heads out of their asses, and we'll start having the conversations that we need to have.
Yeah, I'm with you. Listen,
until then, it's just going to be a bunch of the same shit that's been going on for the last, I don't know, 30-something years.
Hey, Stanley, I wanted to ask you a few things just to kind
sure.
of... you know, just throw some random questions. I threw together some things that I thought to ask you. Let's see. First of all, what inspired you to get into to the legal profession to begin with?
Uh, that's an interesting question. The long and the short of it is I got whitelisted, blacklisted, graylisted as a community organizer and a social worker. And so I said, fuck, I guess if I can't get a gig doing what I love doing, let me go get a gig doing something where I could fuck with the system a bit more efficiently, effectively, and I did. I was in my last life as a human being before I became a lawyer, I was a community organizer and a social worker, and I had was a VISTA volunteer about 190 years ago and set up a legal services project just south of Wounded Knee, not long after Wounded Knee, and was very much involved in anti-war movements and anti-imperialist movements throughout the country and overseas. And some people that I worked with got busted in the renowned, famous, infamous Brinks bank robbery in Nyack years ago when I was running an anti-poverty agency and they worked there. And it created a whole big mess, and people got targeted. And I said, you know what? I think it's time to move on. I think I'll become a lawyer. So I did.
That's awesome. So so after you make this choice to pursue law, who are some of your mentors? Who are some of the people early on that kind of helped spur you forward as you pursued this this career?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I had, you know, there were mentors, there were people that inspired me before I was a lawyer, who then later on, as, you know, as a community activist, I knew them, but, you know, they inspired me, you know, the late phenomenal legendary Leonard Wineglass, who was Mamiya's lawyer, who died way too young, was one of the Chicago conspiracy lawyers, was a mentor of mine and dear friend, and of course the legendary Bill Kunstler, who I worked with for a number of years, was an inspiration to me, and other lawyers who I didn't know but who were out there. Tony Serra, out in your neck of the woods, was a legendary lawyer and is still practicing. You know, but I was more inspired by people outside. Well, Lynn Stewart was my de facto law partner for many years and inspired me, obviously. I've always been inspired more by non-lawyers than lawyers. You know, so, and a lot of it are folks that weren't even alive when I was, you know, it's like Clarence Darrow, well, he was a lawyer, but, you know, Emma Goldman was inspirational to me, and Dorothea Day, and Sol Alinsky, the organizer out of Chicago, and, you know, the obvious ones, Malcolm and Che, and so there was a wide cross-section of folks that were inspirational to me. And it's kind of weird because, you know, I'm at a point after 30 years of practicing law and being involved in, you know, for lack of a better word, the storm, or so many political cases for so long, I often find myself in cases with lawyers that have only been practicing law 15 or 20 years and are political, and they look at me like, you know, I'm the dean of the lunatic bar now, and I go, me? I'm 35 years old. And I go, holy shit, man, the hair's gray, and been there and been there. And so to answer your question, my inspirations have always been my clients. The people that, my political clients, the people that put themselves out there, that often pay enormous sacrifices and prices, that don't have to do it and do it because it's the right thing to do. And I say it a lot, and I don't want to go to the 2-minute timeout, so I hope I'm not violating a rule. I say it a lot, especially with political people. You know, what I do is easy. What my clients in the area, especially in the area where you want to nuke, what they do is extraordinarily difficult. I mean, you know, I've had dozens of friends and colleagues that have been assassinated, that have disappeared, that are in prison, that are, you know, that took on governments and government silenced them. So I don't know. I like to say I haven't had a job for over 30 years. I'll tell you who really still inspires me. It's funny. I was a legal aid attorney in the South Bronx the first 6-7 years of my practice. And I tell people in many respects I was a better lawyer then than I am now. I may be a smarter lawyer now than I was then. But, you know, I'll come across cases, and, you know, that's when the South Bronx was burning. I'll be in a courtroom, and I'll run across colleagues of mine that are now in their 40th year of being public defenders. In every fucking case, they fight like it was the first one. And it doesn't matter whether it's a murder or it's a fair beat. They still fight the government. They fight the state. They fight the fight. They inspire me. They still do. They don't do it for money. They don't do it for prestige. They don't do it because they see themselves on television or get to travel to exotic places to rant and rave and fight the fight. They do it because it's the right fight, and they inspire me. And there's lots of them all over the country that don't get enough credit for the, you know, for the careers and the lives they put in fighting the powerless and the poor and the oppressed among us.
Awesome. As far as some of your actual cases that you've been involved in, if there are any that stand out to you that when you were done with when it was all said and done, was there any particular case that gave you that you felt like you gave you the most satisfaction, like you put the most work into, and it was the biggest, you know, struggle, and you came through? Are there any situations like that stand out in your mind?
Well, there's certainly a case that has informed and directed and molded my life, which would have been, I was very political and doing lots of political cases before then, but, you know, the case in 1995 through 1997 where I successfully represented Musa Abu Marzouk, the political leader of Hamas, was an enormous life-changing case for me because, you know, after you beat Israel and beat the United States and, you know, win the Hamas leader's case, and he goes from almost 2 years in a federal prison back to Amman, Jordan, and then to Syria, now in Egypt, you know, it opens doors, and I don't mean in terms of opportunity, but it opens your eyes and it puts you in the midst of, in the eye of the storm for years, and it's almost 20 years now. So when you look at the Abu Marzouk case, and he remains one of my best friends and closest friends, and I helped raise some of his older kids that stayed behind when he was deported from the country, and I see him once or twice a year overseas, and we talk once or so a month, he and I and the NSA and the Mossad and the CIA. Oops, I broke the rule.
And Vince in the Bay, too. I'm tapping your lines, too.
Yeah, good. Well, you too.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you Abu Marzouk's case, you know, spun off to just, you know, Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda and cases in South Africa and cases in the ICC and advising governments and, you know, just a 20-year span that would have been very, very, very different had it not been for the Abu Marzouk case. And it's a case that I actually turned down at first and wasn't interested in. And I had just finished I represented the 13th Street Squatters case, and we had been on trial for 6 months, and we won. And my then girlfriend and I said, "We got to get the fuck out of here. We're going to go to Maine or something for a vacation." Like, we're getting ready to go, and I get a call from a Muslim client of mine in Washington who said, "Listen, there's a really important guy who, has been stopped at Kennedy Airport, and we would really appreciate if you'd go and check it out and see if everything's okay." And I said, "Yeah, listen, my woman's going to leave me, and I got to go to Maine, and we paid $12 for, you know, a fucking cot, and can't do it." And he said, well, "Who's the guy?" And he said, "You know, Musa Abu Marzouk." And I said, yeah. And I said, "I can't do it, you know, whatever. I'm sure it'll be fine." And I said, "Well, who is he?" And I knew about Palestinian politics, I thought, and about the region, I thought. And he said, "Oh, he's just the head of the political wing of Hamas." I went, "Oh, I think I'll go and see the guy." So I called my girlfriend and said, "I'll meet you in Maine at some point." And went down to MCC and had jeans on, and my hair was out all over the place, and I was rather freaky. And I walked in, and he looked at me, and he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm a lawyer." And, you know, I gave the code that I was supposed to give from a mutual colleague, client, friend, so he would know I was for real. And he looked up, he looked down, he said, "You're a lawyer?" I said, "Yeah,
that's
I'm a lawyer."
That's amazing. Hey, dude, I really hate to interrupt your
right.
story, but guess what, everybody? It's 12 midnight on the East Coast, And that I think, if I'm not mistaken, the government has in fact the federal government has in fact shut down everybody.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Oh.
Everybody got muted. Congratulations.
Yeah, man. Down with America. Here's gonna happen. I'm gonna storm Washington. I'm gonna take no land aside prison now.
Touch. You know, these assholes are so shit too.
Bingo, eat some champagne.
Thank you, everybody, for participating. Well, congratulations, everybody. Welcome to America Without a Federal Government for a day, maybe, or a couple hours.
You know, it's amazing. We've been saying for years that, you know, we could survive without it. And so far, you know, we're 1.5 minutes into it, and it's like, okay.
Hey, look, my BTR show is still going on.
No, listen, it's still going on. And
our phones are still working. Yeah. My TV.
Hello.
Phil's out there.
What?
Am I on?
Yeah, who's that?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, shit. Is that I Has Candy?
Yeah, this is I Has Candy, and I just had a...
Okay, thanks for telling me. You're muted. I see, that's what I... That's what I give for just unmuting people indiscriminately. All right. So, once again, congratulations, everybody. We did it.
Yeah, cool.
We didn't even have to. You didn't, you know, Occupy didn't take down the government. The Tea Party didn't take down the government. The government took down the government. That's the beauty of it all. It's gotten so big that it at some point it just has to like collapse upon itself, that federal government. It's going to be great.
What does it say for our system of government when one group of people in our government who are opposed to actions on another group can just decide, hey, we're not going to play ball anymore. We're just going to make everything shut down. Like, how is that democracy? You know what I mean? Do you get what I'm saying?
No, listen, I
yeah, I agree.
Listen, I'm hoping we can have a battle like we did at the 10 days it shook the world. Let's see these fuckers. Now it's going to get really ugly. No, fuck you. No, fuck you. No, you did this. No, you did that. No, you did this. Listen, you know, Michelle is the new president, I guess.
I don't mean to cut you off, Stanley, but Vincent wants to know that since the government shut down, that means he's free, right?
No, he's absolutely free. You know, the real question I have is what I want to know is are the federal prisons opening up now?
Right. I mean, if they don't have the money to pay for any of this shit, but we should just go and let all these guys out, right?
Well, I'm going to go down to MCC when I'm done and pick up Jeremy. I guess he's getting out tonight.
All right. I'm going to hit up some of my family back in Texas and have them go pick up Higgs.
Hey, listen, I did find it interesting. The one fucking thing that I Have a Drone signed was a bill extending the wages for the military. You know, you can't have bases in 137 places, whatever the fuck it is. There's only 38 or 40 that we admit to, and another 100 that we don't admit to. You can't have them. You can't have black holes. You can't have the CIA killing people and torturing people. And you can't have drones unless you pay the bills. So that shit gets paid for. So
absolutely. I bet the NSA is still getting their funding and the FBI and the
DHS. Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. When they do this shit, they all, you know what they end up doing? They just, they furlough all the... non-essential entities. So basically the shit that they should fucking just get rid of anyway. You know, it's so funny whenever they do this, they always say, all right, well, we're going to have to just operate on bare bones government. And it's like, hello, that's what we've wanted you to do this whole time, you idiots. And they're like, we're going to have to cut off, you know, oh, Jesus, we have 800 different agencies dealing with agriculture. We're going to have to cut that down to 500 now. Oh, cry me a river.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, if I'm sitting there and I got to make the call on which agencies I say goodbye to, it has to be the DEA. Because I think the first fucking thing you got to do over the next hour, week, or 3 weeks is let everyone get fucking stoned in peace.
Yep.
Everyone needs to get happy, get high, get happy, eat chocolate, have sex, get on with life, do what they're going to do, and that'll at least buy some time. Because if the DEA is the only agency out there that's still busting people and putting people in jail, people are going to get pissed. And when people get pissed and the other agencies aren't working, the shit breaks out. So, yeah, you say to the DEA, you pick up the phone, you say, DEA, you're done. Goodbye. We need you. We'll call you back. And maybe 3 months from now, we finally figured out we don't need the fucking DEA. That people being high when they want to get high and whatever they want to get high on generally are much happier and better off without anyone telling them no than telling them anything than just getting on with their fucking lives. So, having said that, here's a flash. It just came across the street. I have a drone. Here's Stanley Cohen say, lay off the DEA. He's just laid off 337,000 DEA agents. Did I lose people?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, sorry. I'm having debates on Twitter and mobile.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm modern. I'm modernized.
I'm monitoring.
I can't even talk. I'm glad you guys are. I'm monitoring Twitter and the chat room and trying to get a sense of what people are saying. And first of all, I am sensing extreme butthurt, and I'm proud of that. So you're welcome, everybody. It's not hard to get him butthurt. I mean, but still, it's low hanging fruit. Whatever. But don't worry, I has candy. We'll get to your call. I promise. I'm gonna try. I've got. I have 7 people holding right now, with their hand
seven
up.
Seven whole people. Damn, man.
Well, listen, I got a tweet from Black Messiah who's pissed at me.
I
said you're cool.
Man, I came on to fuck with you, but you Gucci as fuck.
You Gucci. That means you're good, man.
I hear you. That's cool.
With you. You're awesome, man.
Well, we try harder, me and the Pope.
Oh, hey, I have a question, random. What do you think of the New York City mayor's race?
I like the Sexton guy. What the fuck's his name? The guy that keeps getting busted for putting on his underwear and sending.
Wiener.
I love Wiener. I fucking
yeah.
love Wiener. After
I'm going to use that as a soundbite.
Absolutely.
I love Wiener.
I got to tell you something. After 12 fucking years of Bloomberg, whatever the fuck he is, and after 300 years of Giuliani, and after 200 years of Ed Koch, you give me a guy who puts on a dress, high heels, takes his top off, and sends out his sexting messages anytime. That's my kind of mayor. I will take him. I think he's great. He's a stark-raving...
What blows me away, though, is his wife is so hot. I mean,
I know.
How could you... Why would you even, like, bother sexting people when you could be sexting that shit? Which makes me... There's conspiracy theories I've heard that Hoda? I want to say Hoda.
Yeah.
Whatever her name is. That her and Hillary are scissor kicking. Is that?
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah.
I heard that too. Yeah, I did. But Hillary's got a bad back now.
In that case, I can't fault Wiener. I mean, he's just like, dude, I got this hot wife that I can't even fucking bang. What am I supposed to do?
Well, she's playing the good wife role. And, you know, it's like Hillary, when Bill got caught staining the rugs in the White House, boy, was it over. Hillary said, no problem, rock on. They'll peach your ass and watch what I go for. Listen, I don't know. It's like weird shit, but there's all sorts of shit going on there with that whole crew. But, I thought the same thing, but what can I say? I got to tell you, though, I like him. I hope he runs, he stays, he wins. It'll be great. Can you imagine?
Well, he's not. He's already out, dude.
Now, did he bail out again?
Oh, no. They had a primary, the primary with the Democrats, and came in like fifth place.
Oh, I thought
so
he was going to run as a write-in under the sexting ballot.
No, I didn't hear about that. But I have heard there's this one party. It's called the Tax Wall Street Party, I think. And they're running. They're like a single issue party, and they want to institute a citywide tax on all Wall Street transactions. And I think they were able to get something on the ballot. I can't confirm, but that's something to look into. And if it's for real, I might even do a show about it. But I'm a fascist, and I like to think free markets can the invisible hand of the free market can guide everything.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if we're already taxing everything that fucking we can't nail down or anything that moves, why not put a tax on Wall Street? Just like it could be like 0.5%, and it would pay for people's people's tuition to college.
Yeah.
And I'm generally against taxes. I'm generally like, keep taxes low, keep spending low. Let's just kind of, let's be smart, let's be resourceful. People are smart as individuals. They can do amazing things when they're given the freedom to do so. And it's just obvious that the federal government in the first place is not even supposed to be a federal government. It's just supposed to be an entity that's kind of like a home base for all the states. The states are really where it's at, and they're supposed to take care of themselves. The federal government is not supposed to be as ginormous as it is. A lot of the work that they're trying to do should be done by states independently, deciding on their own to do it, and to force it on all of us, just like a blanket law. I think that's totally unfair.
Well, it's interesting because the federal government really developed its largest jump in power through the Commerce Clause, and they had to do it because of civil rights, because you had 8, 10, 12, 14, 18 states throughout the United States who were still fighting the Civil War, where people of color, where you still had, hotels, white hotels, Negro hotels, no Jews, dogs, or niggers, signs on lawns, and where people weren't allowed to go here, do there. So what ended up happening was the feds finally had to jump in, and the way the feds had to jump in was on the back of the Commerce Clause. And once the door opened up, albeit for the perfect reason, because if there was ever a reason for Uncle Sam to go kick ass, it was over civil rights. It was also over the voting rights legislation. It had earlier been over the women's right to vote issues. But what happened is once the feds opened the door to the Commerce Clause, they said, whoa, this is good shit. We can do everything off the Commerce Clause. So that one little clause, the Commerce Clause, has given the feds the ability to insinuate the federal government to every aspect of everyone's life in every state. And if you take a look before the 1950s, the late 50s, it really wasn't happening as much. But then, it happened primarily around the issue of civil rights.
Right. And the Commerce Clause is the whole premise for passing Obamacare.
Oh, Yeah.
That was the entire thing that it was predicated on. Hey, we got callers that plenty of people that want to talk to you. He goes by City of Flint on Twitter. City of Flint, you're on with Stanley. What's up?
Hey, Vince. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
I'm good. I'm hanging out with Stanley Cohen, and we're just talking about all kinds of stuff. What's up?
Oh, it's a great show. I was going to ask the counselor there, are you like Michael Moore's age?
I think I'm actually older than Michael. How old is Michael? 53, 54?
Sounds about right.
I'm a couple of years older than Michael. Although Michael seemed to stop growing when he was at Mother Jones, and then he went from being the great, you know, I've been trashing Michael for years because he's, you know, he gets invited to the White House for these special prayer breakfasts, and, you know, I have a drone, can do no wrong. I'm a few years older than Michael, and I remember years ago when I started out at Legal Aid, I guess he was the editor-in-chief of Mother Jones, and then he quit, got fired, moved on, and then Michael became Michael, and Michael's big thing now is kissing Obama's ass and jogging.
I will say, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Michael Moore was all over Twitter bashing Obama, but I think it's probably because he's gearing up for Hillary's 2016 run.
Yeah.
He's probably trying to distance himself from Obama now so he can support her.
This is just so cyclical, it's disgusting. This happens with every two-term president. They start off, everybody's on board, everybody's hooting and hollering, everybody's on the bandwagon through the first term. Second term, just as long as they can get through the second term and get reelected, they're good. And then slowly but surely, people drop off. Main players, like you noticed, of course, Hillary dropped off. I don't know how many goddamn defense secretaries and CIA directors have. Those are like revolving doors now. Gibbs, is that the first press secretary? He dropped off way early. People bail. Even what's his name? The guy who ran, who's like his Karl Rove. I don't know. His name eludes me. But even he's kind of stepped back in his role. And this is what always happens. Towards once they become a lame duck, they tend to kind of distance themselves from him. For whatever reasons, you know, in Clinton's case, it was the Lewinsky scandal and all that Gore tried to distance himself from. In Obama's case, it was he was essentially running against George Bush, and there's a lot of fallout from that. So these guys know how to do it, man. They just work the angles.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, Obama has been, since day one, has been the penultimate fake, fraud, and liar, and hypocrite. So you've got all these progressives, the beautiful people, the enlightened souls that, you know, I'll never forget, you know, Oprah, you know, with the tear dropping from her eye, holding the candle, singing Kumbaya, and people saying, we've overcome. And the next day, Obama's out killing civilians with drones and shit, and Gitmo hasn't been closed, and, you know, whistleblowers are going to prison, and there are more people of color in prison than ever before, and on and on and on. And for a term, people just made excuses. He needs more time, he needs more time, he needs more time. And then short of giving the fucker six more terms, he's run out of time. And so you're right. People begin, the beautiful people begin to cut their connections and say, fuck this, let me find the next one, the beautiful person to jump on. So all of a sudden, the last 6 months to a year, as I Have a Drone's hair has gotten gray, and as he's been exposed more and more for the hypocrite, liar, and fake he is.
Just to clarify for people that are maybe confused when Stanley says, I have a drone, that when he says that, he's referring to Obama. So anytime he says, I have a drone, he means Obama. Some listeners might be like, why does this guy keep telling me he has a drone? I don't get it.
Well, the first term, I called him Yes We Can. And then it shifted over to I Have a Drone, because the first time you cite, he quoted an I Have a Dream speech from MLK, after throwing up, I said, no, you have a fucking drone. So that's been it since then.
Can I ask my follow-up question to that?
Sure.
There was a reason why I asked you.
Go for it. Once again, sorry, this is City of Flint on with Stanley, myself, and a non-sicko. Go for it.
Anyway, the reason why I asked, I just was kind of get a gauge of what area you're from. But, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think about Michael Moore and being critical of him, I mean, the guy basically is a movie buff. I mean, he's not really, I guess he is an activist, but he's more of a filmmaker than he is a boots on the ground kind of guy. But I didn't call to defend him.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with other people from, like, say, John Sinclair? Were you around in that era?
No. There have been. Are you talking about filmmakers and journalists more to the point?
No, I'm basically just trying to paint a picture here. I'm trying to figure out, you know, when your youth was, when were you 18 years old in the early 60s, late 60s?
Yeah, I was 17 years old when the second draft in American history was initiated. I wasn't even 18 yet when I was picked number 10 in the draft. I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s.
And that means a good signing bonus, right?
Oh, it was a great time. It was the best time to grow up imaginable. I was 14 years old or 15 years old, whatever it was, and went to Woodstock. And then I think I woke up 3 years later or something like that.
Number 10 in the draft, that should at least be $1.5 million of signing bonus right there.
Yeah, no shit. I just missed out, you know. But, yeah, I grew up in the anti-war movement of the late 60s, early 70s, and grew up in the streets of New York City and went to school, was thrown out of a series of universities, was very much active in a couple of universities with the SDS, but sort of the second generation SDS and second generation Black Panther Party in Brooklyn. And
what about the White Panther Party out of Ann Arbor, Michigan?
I'm aware of the White Panther Party.
Okay. What? Those guys were all from, I grew up with those guys around here. But anyway, I just think it's the parallels from what's going on as far as them shutting down the government. I mean, they've shut down the government in Flint and Detroit since 2011. It's kind of funny to me to see people get up in arms and to watch the trending hashtags about the government shutdown when really they're not shutting the government down. The only thing that's going to happen is you're not going to get your mail.
Well,
but,
that's true. But the other
your mail.
I never get my mail anyway, dude. I don't have an address. I'm a nomad. I have fucking sociopaths and anonymous people after my ass. Actually, they're one and the same, but still, I'm not getting any mail as it is. You know, they've already shut it down on Saturdays. Does anybody care? You know what? Who's doing it better? FedEx and UPS. That's why the fucking another example of how the government just fucked it up. And you know, it's a shame, but c'est la vie.
Well, anyway, and I'll finish up here. I didn't prepare any questions or anything. I just heard you on the show and thought you were great. But here in Flint, I'm just a guy that has a Twitter account, but they've basically raised the price of drinking water 110%. There are women who are choosing between, you know, well, do I go get some food today or do I pay the water bill?
Yeah.
And I saw some local guys who identify with Anonymous, and they were going to hold a rally downtown Flint today, and they called it Flint Water Revolt to draw some attention. And the undercover narcotics cops went over on Friday and arrested the guy that organized it for filming them. And it's just crazy to me that this is the first time that I've ever got behind an actual cause. And I don't know, some things just don't add up here. I'm sure it's going to end up being a news story, but I appreciate you being one of the good lawyers and actually giving a shit. So it's refreshing.
Oh, good talking to you.
You too.
Nice to see you, Flint.
Is my, Is Mo still there?
Yeah, Mo's here.
Yeah, okay. Well, just like, want to make sure you're still there.
Yeah, she's just playing video games, listening to us talk about all the shit we're talking about.
All right, cool. It's all right. I'm,
We're kind of excited to see for the next time you come into the Bay, so we can see you and have a beer or two together.
Yeah. I think I'll be out there again in about the end of this month. It's now October 1st, I think. So, yeah, I think we're due back the 27th or the 28th. So, yeah, I'll be back there then. I'm looking forward to it. And meanwhile, I'm getting ready to get on the road again.
Right on. Well, I appreciate City of Flint coming through and asking those questions. We have many more callers to get to.
Cool.
I'm now going to bring on my friend Vert. I think you're familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
Vert, welcome. You are on with Stanley, Sicko's here as well, and also Nigger Christ.
Hey, what's up, Vert?
Well, thank you there, Vince. Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Stan. What's
that? Shut up, Nigger Christ. Vert is trying to say hi to Stanley.
Hey.
It's cool if I talk to you, right, Stan?
It's absolutely cool that you're talking to the NSA and the CIA and LSD at the same time, man.
And the VITB.
Yeah.
And I could use some help right now.
Wait. Well, yeah, I know Sicko got on and asked you my question. Are we really free right now?
Well, I gotta tell you, they haven't started banging down my door, so the fucking Palmer raids aren't coming to take the anarchists away from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. So I guess we're okay. I just took a look at all the news stories, and there's like 79 news flashes that says government shuts down. It's like, oh, okay. I mean, the cops are still out in front
probably
of my building.
Is it okay if I leave the state? No.
I guess you can leave the state. Just get away before they figure out you're gone and you're cool.
Yeah. What happens when probably tomorrow they reinstate the government and find out I'm gone?
They'll probably hunt you down and shoot you.
Fuck.
Well, listen.
Yeah. That's kind of the answer that I was expecting.
You know, listen, but if I have one life to live, let me live it as a blonde. You know, what the fuck?
I am a blonde, so.
Well, there you go. I saw it. Bingo.
But, it's a Vincent Kershaw.
Huh?
Kershaw, one of the defendants?
Absolutely.
Okay, just wanted to make sure Ed Sicko asked me.
No, he sent
a text. I'm pretty sure he fucking knows.
He sent me a text and said that posted a text that said I gave him permission to go to Monaco, so he's on the way to the airport right now. That's cool. Enjoy.
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm starting now. So, yeah. But good to know, and glad you're here.
It's cool to talk to you, and remember, just the old, there's a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song, we're going to go up to the front lawns in Beverly Hills and knock the jockeys off the lawn and get away before they wake up and realize what we've done.
Classic Stan. Hell yeah, dude.
There it is. Don't get caught, man. It's only, keep in mind, it's not a law, it's only a suggestion, and it's only criminal if you get caught.
Oh, that's wouldn't to anybody.
And that's official legal advice from an actual lawyer.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't use it when they come to get you. I mean, then you end up in the nut house. But it sounds good.
So we can't say. But Stanley said that it's not a law. It's just a suggestion. That wouldn't be a very good defense.
Well. I was in law school 112 years ago, and in those days you used to be able to smoke in libraries and smoke in elevators and smoke everywhere. And I was in an elevator one day with a professor, and I lit up a cigarette, and he looked at me, and there was a sign on the elevator that said, please refrain from smoking, or some stupid shit like that. And the professor thumbed his nose at me and pointed, and I said, it's just a suggestion. he gave me a bad grade a couple of years later, but it was all right. He died. I'm still alive, so it's okay.
Okay, moving on. Let's bring on more callers, shall we?
All right.
We now have Worth of the World with us with an update on the government shutdown. Worth of the World, are you there?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hey, Worth, how are you, darling?
I'm great. How are you, Stan?
I'm good. Tell me the saga of the dog. What's going on?
Hey, so, like, the entire time the show's been on, I've been driving. And, you know, right at stroke of 9 Pacific, I thought that maybe the roads were going to start crumbling or something. You know, like, I was starting to get worried about our infrastructure. But everything's great. Like, roads are still good. Lights are still working.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Because
yeah.
I'm looking at... No, I don't believe you. You know why? You know why? I know. I'm watching Rachel Maddow right now, and she is pissed off, dude. I think shit.
You got that one?
I think, dude, her fucking head is about to explode, bro.
Oh, God.
I do have a concern. I live out by the refinery.
By the way, while you've been on the road, Saints covered.
Yeah, they did. They did. They kicked ass. They won by 21, I think. Yeah.
Well, good for them. I'm not a big football fan, but great job for the Saints fans, I guess.
No
Yo,
doubt.
Miss?
Yeah, but so I live out.
No worries. Tell us just. I want to hear about living out. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I live out by the refineries. And so, you know, upon getting close to my house, there was a concern, though, because there's, like, some really foul smells. So I think they're taking advantage of, like, the lack of, like, environmental control and stuff with the government shutdown now. So we might want to worry about that. You know, there's, like, some crazy sparkling lights going on in the sky. They think the aliens about to invade us now that they know that we don't have the government, you know, shielding us from them and all. So the Armageddon might really be coming, guys. But roads are good. Cops are still
out.
I'm
so glad. You know what? I knew I was living in interesting times. I had a feeling. I was like... You know, technology and all this shit—it's moving too fucking fast, dude. There has to be aliens, dude. Aliens that harvested the humans to build the robots to take over for the humans, and you know it's inevitable, dude. It's all around us.
Hey, if aliens are real and they have some great big plan for this planet, I'm kind of pro team alien right now. Just, I mean, I think we're doing it wrong, so might as well give them a crack at it.
I got no problem with listening.
well, see, that's what you don't understand. The aliens have been controlling the world, the world's elite, the Illuminati, if you will.
Well, I think it depends on what planet you're behind. You know, like if you're like pro Jupiter aliens or pro Saturn aliens, I think everybody's got their own agenda. Yeah, that's what all the chaos is about.
I'm on Earth, so that's the agenda I have.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
If you got time for a very funny little story, you'll get a kick out of talking about aliens and shit. I have a terrorism case, so-called terrorism, a terrorism case in Manhattan right now, and we're doing pretrial hearings. And, you know, there's a lot of classified material and lots of protective orders, and so there's some motions that were filed that identified the country that my client was renditioned from. And I get a call from one of the prosecutors who, I guess I'm going to get shot. No, I'm not going to identify anything. So, you know, we had a discussion, someone from the government, about the need to refrain from identifying the particular country publicly in the courtroom. Okay, so we'll do that. So we spent some time deciding on, you know, is it country X, is it country Y, and I insisted that we call it Fredonia from the old Groucho Marx movie.
Yeah, I love that one. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
The classic.
I'm a huge, huge Marx Brothers fan.
Yep, yep.
Like whenever I'm depressed, I just watch Marx Brothers films.
Yeah, no. So it's cool, but unfortunately the prosecutor was too young to understand Fredonia, so he must have gone and Googled it or something, and the next day he left.
Wild.
Wow.
Needless to say, we didn't call it Fredonia because I don't think, you know, Holder would have approved of us in a courtroom making light of, you know, country X.
Such a great movie. God, I wish there was a modern equivalent of the Marx Brothers.
Okay.
For a little just window of time, it was almost like Anonymous was like the digital cyber Marx Brothers for a while, like the Merry Pranksters, and I love the humor and it's great, and it's just totally, you know, slapping the status quo in the face.
Yep. Everything was a target. No one was sacred. And at the end of the night,
you didn't say day, so that's good.
You did. I didn't say it figuratively. I'm watching, you know what I have on my computer screen, whatever you call that? I've got this, it's obviously Photoshop, but someone sent it to me, and it's so cool. It's a young Palestinian boy, he's about 5 years old, and he's on top of a stone slab outside the door of his house, and there's an Israeli soldier who's leaning down on the stairs with his machine gun aiming or shooting or something. The kid pulls his dick out, and he's pissing on the soldier. it's absolutely wonderful. And someone said to me, you realize that really didn't happen. I said, really? Doesn't matter. It's like a wonderful picture.
Oh, my goodness. Shenanigans. We have more shenanigans to come on air tonight. We are getting, man, time flies when you're having fun. We got about 25 minutes left.
Cool.
In the show, and we might go over a little bit if the flow is there, but I want to get as many people on air as possible. So I have waiting patiently. Crappy Airbags. You're on with Stanley Cohen.
Yo, what's up, Stanley?
What's up, Crappy? How you doing, bro?
You know, just figured I'd call in and say how you doing.
I'm cool. Everything's good. Hearing from all my friends from the cyber world, from the land of Twitter, it's good. It's cool. How you doing?
Good. It was good to hear a little bit of your history about how you got into practicing law. I don't think I'm ever going to pass the bar unless I get banned and get bored. It's a righteous story, bro. And we love you. And that's really all I got. And I'm following your advice to get high.
Running
in the background.
I think in these moments of crisis when we're on the precipice of collapse and, you know, the Eastern world that is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. Wow, you're old enough for killing but not for voting. Even the Jordan River's got its bodies floating. No, it's coming back. The thing to do with Eye of a Drone and the rest of these fuckers, like, out of work and is go get high.
Yeah, but I was doing that before I have a drone, but I agree.
No, but now you got the perfect excuse because we're traumatized.
No, but my excuse is that the human condition, no matter who's been in charge, has always looked towards inebriation to escape from the doldrums of reality, whether you were fucking royalty or not, man. We're built to get stoned.
Hey, listen.
We don't need excuses to get stoned. It's inside of us, man. You know, you've dropped acid before.
Yeah.
That's how we're wired. But it makes the other people feel better when you say that, so I'm down with that, too,
well,
because feeling good is important.
I said to a DEA agent in the hallway after I beat the shit out of him, got 100 pounds of pot suppressed, I said to him, you realize reality is only for people who can't handle drugs. And he looked at me and got really pissed and said something stupid. What? And I said, the only difference between you and my fucking client is you got out of the business before you got caught. So he went stomping off to the fucking 7-Eleven and bought a case of beer and some drugs and went home, beat his wife.
Yeah. It wasn't Special Agent Gomez, was it?
No, those are border guys. We get all the skinny Irish guys and the crazy. And I got to tell you, it sucks, man. The DEA agents these days, like in the East Coast, they look like they're 17 fucking years old. It's like, you know, I saw one.
Well, all the old guys got rotated out with early retirement so they could reduce their salaries, and they rotate in the young guys coming back from the Iraq War.
No, these guys are so fucking young. I said to someone the other day, does your mother know that you have a gun? And he got really upset at me in the elevator, and I said, I know you want to kick my ass, but you're going to have to wait till later. But they're, like, so fucking young. And there was this hot babe. I had an FBI agent, an FBI intelligence agent on a witness stand last week in a terrorism case. And she got off the stand, and I said, how old are you? She looked at me like, why? I said, you people are too young to be doing this shit. It's like, oh, my God, this is unfair for people to be this young and doing this stuff. It lures you in.
So let me ask you one question. This must really piss off the government, that it's the privileged information that you're subject to because of who you defend. So it only gets worse and worse for them because your body of knowledge about what they do gets larger and larger when they don't want anybody to know about it. But they really don't have a choice. They're compelled to tell you as part of discovery, defense, whatever. I'm not a lawyer.
Well, actually,
so I don't know what works.
On some levels, no, because there's certain classified security clearance I can't get. So, for example, as a member of our defense team who has the nano Shazbot secret decoder ring security clearance, so she gets to pull on her left ear and think thoughts and transmits it across the galaxy, and if I'm lucky, it washes up on the beach in a bottle, and then I realize the information's meaningless, and I just made that all up because they're listening. But, yeah, no, there's, you know, I got to tell you, I said to someone, I had a speech at Cooper Union last week, and I said, you know, in 25 years of doing political cases, I have seen literally hundreds of thousands of declassified and classified documents, and I can say in all those years I've probably seen one piece of paper with one line that probably should have been classified. And the rest of it is all crap. It's all garbage. It's all bullshit. It's all puffed up to make the machine run. That's all it is.
Well, somebody has a couple thousand jobs out of deciding what's classified and what's not, right? And bringing it in and out of rotation, so... That's a job all by itself.
You know,
industry
all by itself. No, it's wild. And, you know, I recently had a situation where I went to a WikiLeaks site to pull something up that's still classified, and I used it in a public document in a courtroom, and everyone, like, shit the bed. You can't do this. It's classified. I said, what the fuck are you talking about, man? It's on the New York Times. It's like out here, and the world didn't end, and no one died, and no one got shot, and... Although I'm sure it's the direct result now is the U.S. government shutting down was because of that page was on WikiLeaks, so I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah, I thought so. Anyway, it was good talking to you, Stanley.
Good talking to you, man.
Stay strong, bro.
Okay, you too. Take care.
Later.
Thanks.
Right on. Thanks, Crappy. Appreciate the call. 347-826-7667 is the number. Folks, we are getting dangerously close to being done with this live broadcast. I will accommodate as many calls as I can before we're done live. And if you really want to get in, we can extend it a little bit. But this has been a great show. It's gone by way too fast. And I still have other callers lined up. We're going to go now to... Josh, your friend Josh, a.k.a. Absalem.
Ah.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, Josh, how you doing, man?
Not too bad, Stanley. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Long time. Everything all right?
Right? No, everything's good. How are the dogs?
The dogs are fine. The little one's in Florida with his mom, and Emma's sitting next to me drooling, looking like, when are we going to bed?
Right? There you go.
They're
not
good.
A bad plan.
No,
good
they're
deal.
Good. Hmm?
Oh, no. Let's see. Is Triv still there? Because are we allowed to be here since you're here, right?
I think you are. I mean, you're just not allowed to talk about secret decoder shit or not.
Oh, right. Okay. Our secret plan.
The
shutdown government.
But Vert is here too. So if
I'm still here, Josh. If it's okay to be here, then I'm here.
But if but he isn't saying shit. He isn't saying shit, so I can kick him off. It's no problem.
He isn't saying shit.
He isn't.
He hasn't said anything. Shit.
He's in a corner, just, like twiddling his keener. I don't know.
Fucking serious, Vince.
I'm just
right
saying,
fucking here.
JS, bro.
So we're just gonna basically talk about taking over the shutdown government, right? Like, is that our plan?
Well, I think it's a good idea.
Sure, whatever. No, Josh, whatever you wanna bring up and talk about. We got 15 minutes left, so spit it out, dude.
Oh man, so what do we do? Okay, so we've talked about the government shutdown and all that other good stuff. So what do we do while it's shut down? Do we just sit and bitch and wait? Or can we actually do something?
Keep living your life, bro. We don't need it. Is that not clear?
Well, no, but I mean, you can't. Okay, so we let the corporations run us? Come on.
The corporations will be fine. They don't need the government. They'll have the state governments. It's cool, dude. Things are gonna keep going.
Well, I'm not scared, Vince. It's not like an issue. I'm talking like.
Oh, you're scared. I can't.
Like having a solution.
Your voice is trembling, bro. It's cool.
Yeah, my space boots. Me and my space boots, trembling. But no, seriously. Like, okay, we're gonna live our lives. Things are gonna go on. So what do we, I mean? Where do the laws go? Where do other things go?
There's
still
laws.
Can we change things now? What do we? What extra powers do we have now as people now that there's no government? Do I get like a superpower? Can I have a superpower?
The powers we've always had.
None. Okay.
Well,
that was endowed to us by our Creator. There are certain inalienable rights that we have been endowed with, and there's no fucking institution that can override that. I don't care what the fuck you say, but there has to be some law and order.
That's the First Amendment.
Luckily, smart people that are on this land space that a lot of us are on now, who came up with a pretty revolutionary idea. And, you know, it more or less worked, you know, for a while, and it got perverted like everything else does. And, you know, like everything else, it self-destructs on its own. Case in point, recently the Soviet Union.
I mean, this is true.
I don't know.
I don't know. But, I mean, I'm talking about going forward. Two, we can talk about the history of why things died out and all this good stuff. That's exciting. But let's look forward. And what do we do now? I mean, we live our lives. Yes, you pointed that out. Great. And everything goes kumbaya.
Yeah,
we sing songs in circles and get high. But we got to do something else. We can't just sit on our hands and bitch more, right?
Don't let shit come back, for sure.
I dance
like,
more.
Just keep it shut down.
We can do a rain dance.
I think we should publicly dance more. I think that should be increased.
We could do that.
Well, the reality of it is the bad guys that the government funds are still going to get funded. The good guys, there were very few of, so we're not going to notice the absence of them in any event. And the fence-sitters are going to just, you know, sit on their fucking fences, so it's not going to be anything particularly noticeable. But what is, I think, interesting is, and I was talking to some folks today, is, you know, with all of its ups and downs, and we all have them, say, of Occupy, the work that it did in Staten Island, the work it's done in other communities throughout the United States is critical. Because there are going to be some people that are going to be really hurting while the place stays shut down. There's going to be government offices that are closed. There's going to be food banks that are going to be closed. There are going to be veterans' hospitals that are going to have problems. So those are areas where we should all be organizing and working to prove to the fucking government that we don't need you, that we can do these things on our own, and we can be more supportive than you fuckers ever were.
Amen, brother. Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, no.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that I have to volunteer at a food bank per my court order, and am I gonna have a place to go to tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I'm sure.
I mean, because they were talking about shutting down, like or at least not getting paid anymore, which might be an issue.
Yeah, no, but, you know, the reality of it is you'd still be volunteering whether it was per your court order or not anyway.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's because that's who you are and what you do. And so even if there's a problem tomorrow, I'm sure you and a lot of other folks are going to be doing the same things out there, and because it's what we do with each other.
That's true.
You know, and the government has to understand that. You know, the cops will be on the street, and the militaries will be in 174 fucking countries. You know, and life goes on. It's listen, this deal will... This thing will settle out, unfortunately, I say it in the wrong way, in a couple of days. So we'll be back to just greasing the machine.
Yeah, it's all theater. Well, geez, we got 10 minutes left live. This has been a great show. I had a few more quick questions that I wanted to get in myself. First of all, quickly, Stanley, your take on Eric Holder.
I think Eric Holder, like I Have a Drone, is one of the penultimate hypocrites of our generation. He has allowed the Department of Justice to become completely politicized. You know, keep in mind, everyone looks at the Department of Justice. We've sort of been seduced into this notion that the Department of Justice is the private prosecutorial arm of the president. It's not. It's supposed to be the interpreter, the enforcer of the laws, notwithstanding what the president says, what the president does, or its dictates, or his dictates. And in this case, Holder has sat on top of the Department of Justice, where it's become among the most politicized arms of government, certainly the most, since Nixon, it's certainly the most politicized Department of Justice I can remember. They pick and choose who to prosecute and not prosecute based upon politics. They pick and choose who to prosecute and not prosecute based upon a political agenda, upon the message they're trying to send. Completely owned lock, stock, and barrel by corporate America. Every once in a while he goes to Congress, he says, fuck you, and they say, we're going to hold you in contempt. He says, fuck you twice, and he goes back to his office. I know people that went to law school with him. One of them is, it doesn't matter who, but a couple of them, one of them is a very close friend of mine, and Holder has always been a mountain climber who likes to take the elevator rather than climb the mountain. I think the real damage has been his inability to keep a handle on local U.S. attorneys. So you've had these tremendous abuse of discretion cases throughout the country. And on the other hand, when it comes to a political issue, like, for lack of a better word, cyberspace, whistleblowers, media, they have centralized it and set up these units along with the FBI in Washington that just issue orders and control national policy. Not a good guy, not one of my favorite guys, but he is the alter ego of I Have a Drone.
Excellent. Another question. In doing my pre-show research, I came across a clip, and I tweeted it out, of you on Hannity's show. And that was awesome. I love that clip. I just want to know, what was it like to be on that show with Hannity, and what was he like off camera, if he even acknowledged you?
I have done probably 20 live television shows with him, and he's stopped now, and probably 30 radio shows. And, you know, that was the last time I ever did television with him, his live show, because I kicked his ass and because it went viral. I'm not sure if he's a true believer or not. I once said to him on a radio show where he got a little bit too self-righteous with me, and it was live, and I said, you know, Sean, for $1 million, you'd put a fucking headband on and sing Kumbaya. So come on, let's be real. You're in entertainment. You're not a, you know, you're not a political leader. You're not a player. What's he like? Off camera, he's charming. There's a boyish side to him that is a little bit different. I mean, Bill Riley is will cut your knees off. Greta Van Susteren is an old friend of mine, is really bright and really smart. Hannity is, you know, listen, up till about 3 months ago, every once in a while I would get a call from his producers and ask me to come on a show because they really had a hot topic and they wanted me to go to war. And the last time we did it, I got in a screaming match with both Hannity and his guest for 20 minutes nonstop, screaming. No one got a word in edgewise. The show went down, and that's the last I've heard from Sean.
Sweet. I love it. That's great. That's awesome that he let you on so many times. And let's see. One other random question I have here. What's your take on the ninjas?
On the ninjas?
Yeah. Are you familiar with the ninjas on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
ninjas. Come on.
Like my white ninja, my black ninja, my rainbow ninja, my.
They keep us entertained. They keep us straight, and they keep us juggling balls all the time.
Yeah, they're also subtly oppressing us.
Oh, I understand. You know, listen, but I got to tell you something. You know, I go back and look at my own line and talk about rapes. Jesus. I think Josh can testify to this. I know he gets nervous when he hears testify. But, I discovered Twitter off of the PayPal crew.
True.
You know, Josh and a co-defendant are not together, but friends hooked this up for me, and I think it's just amazing. I think it's wonderful. And I sit back, and, you know, you got to figure out who's doing what, where, when, and why. But the reality of it is you got people talking to each other that never in a million years would talk to each other.
Well, and with the way Stanley talks and all the stories he's got, it's basically natural fit.
Yeah, it's cool. It's,
yeah. Yeah, your Twitter feed is excellent, Stanley.
Thank you.
And once again, that Twitter feed is twitter.com/Stanley Cohen. And we're going to go to final thoughts quickly here. Let's start with Anand Sicko. Anand Sicko, any final thoughts before we wrap up the show?
It was good to be on your show again, Vince. I know it's been a while. Nothing personal. I just haven't been interneting as much lately. Happy birthday, 4chan. And hooray, the government shut down.
Ma says go A's.
Go A's. Yeah, absolutely. I second that. Go A's. Let's go to Worth of the World. Final thoughts.
I just want everybody to stay safe. And Stanley, hopefully I can see you in New York since I won't be seeing you at the next PayPal date because I won't be in town. I hate to miss it. I hope everything goes well and everybody will be my thoughts for that. And hopefully comes out with good results as you've indicated it may.
Yeah, well, cool. When you're in the city, let's hook up. I'm traveling a bit, but I'm around. Look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, it'll be great to hook up. I'd like to maybe get like a foot tour of your neighborhood or something, or get a glass of wine or whatever.
Well, since the government shut down, the police won't be on the streets. We can get a glass of wine and walk around the neighborhood at the same time.
Sounds perfect.
There you go.
All right, well, fly safe wherever you're headed to, and I'll talk to the rest of you guys around.
Take care.
All right. Thank you, Worth of the World. Vert, your final thoughts.
It's just awesome that Dan came out. And, Worth, Sicko, Josh, the rest of you, thank you guys. And, I'll try not to travel off.
All right, cool, man. Thanks for calling tonight, bro. Appreciate it. Josh, final thoughts.
The government shut down. I don't have to have a final thought.
Sweet, dude. Isn't it awesome?
So much freer.
You can do everything now. You can walk around naked in the street.
Gonna do it.
Yeah, me too. Right, I'm already naked, so I'm ready to go once the show's done.
Damn it. I'm lagging behind.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling, bro. Anything?
Thank you.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Thank you, guys. Love you all.
All right. Thanks, Josh. And, of course, oh, wait. Oh, Jesus Christ. or should I say nigger Christ? nigger Christ, your final thoughts, please.
Hey, well, Gucci. See, like I said earlier, Stanley, I came on here trying to screw with you, but, you know, you turned out being cool. You pretty Gucci, all right?
All right, bro, cool.
And second off, Black Messiah going to take over the government. I'm going down to the White House telling Obama real nigga in charge now, you feel me?
Okie dokie, appreciate
stay
the Gucci. Call. Yeah, stay Gucci, of course. Appreciate as always, Nigger Christ, and of course, last but not least, our featured guest tonight, Stanley. Any parting thoughts before we sign off here?
Up the rebel, never let him in your house, and never, ever, 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 ever answer any of their questions.
Perfect advice.
Thanks for asking me on your show. It's been a blast, man. I've been a fan for a long time, and up the rebels. Keep fighting. Keep saying no. Keep fucking with these people, whether they're open or not. They still have their foot in our neck, and we got to work and struggle and hard and fight back and do the good things. That's it.
Right on. Well, I appreciate you calling in. I hope we can do it again sometime soon. And I wish you safe travels, as always. And we're going to go out with another song curated by Stanley. This is Old Blue Eyes with
Ooh.
My Way. And we're going to get out of here. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Vince of the Bay. Peace out, y'all.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, not me, I did it my
not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. It was my way.
Thank you, very nice.